Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. And we began this morning considering the great blessing of peace that is ours in Christ. And our theme for this evening is making peace like the sun. So again, let's give our careful hearing to the Word of God, reading Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. Pray with me briefly. Our Father and our God, we again, seek your grace to us as we seek to hear your word. We ask, Lord, that you might pour out your Spirit upon us, that our ears might be opened, that our eyes might be opened, that our feet might be ready to walk in your ways. Lord, we pray that we might see clearly the glory of our Savior, and that it might be our heartfelt desire to be like him, and to engage in that wonderful kingdom activity of making peace through the cross of Christ. Lord, bless us, we pray, for the sake of Christ, and we do ask that he may be glorified. We pray in his great name. Amen. Well, we began our study of this seventh beatitude this morning, and I'm getting a little nervous as I prepare to begin a preaching series through the book of Numbers, which has large sections of scripture. I've gotten used to preaching one verse, sometimes taking that one verse both morning and evening, so you'll need to pray for me as I need to take huge portions of scripture coming up here fairly soon. But we've been thinking about this topic of peace and peacemaking. And in our sermon this morning, we really emphasize that the source and the definition of peace is nothing less than God himself. That God revealed this peace in the sending of his Son, that Jesus is the preeminent peacemaker of the world. And as we begin to think about this evening what it means for us to be peacemakers, we see that the first reason that you are to be peacemakers is that God has made peace with you. And immediately, I think that moves us a step beyond where most people are. Unlike those who seek peace because they think that it will make their lives more comfortable, or they think it will benefit them in some way, our impulse to make peace comes from the outside. Your first motivation toward making peace springs not from self-interest, but it comes from a gift that you have received, that great peace that you have received through the blood of Christ's cross. God has first made peace with you. And that, from that fact then springs our peacemaking activity. Because we have received Christ, because we have received his Spirit, so then we also strive for peace. And I want to again call your minds back to that passage I read from Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul makes that important connection. He makes that connection that in our receiving peace at salvation, in our receiving Christ and therefore being reconciled to God, that really the end goal in our redemption is not just that we experience peace on a personal level. What He has done for us is intended to affect radically the way we deal with one another. By reconciling people, first of all, with Himself, by taking people who were once His enemies and making us into His family, God has at the same time turned people who would have been each other's enemies into brothers and sisters in the household of God. And as I pointed out, that long-standing division between Jew and Gentile and how that was wonderfully torn down by the peace that was brought by Christ, the same is to be true for us. The long-standing divisions, that things apart from Christ that would have kept us apart, because of the redemptive work of Christ, we are brought together in a relationship of peace. And so God has first made peace with us, and in doing that, He has made us into peacemakers. And so if you'll remember this morning, we thought about what peace was. We thought about the source and the definition of it. We thought about Jesus, our preeminent peacemaker. And then we thought about how this beatitude is primarily speaking about who we are. That it is Jesus pronouncing a sovereign blessing. He is the one who is making us peacemakers. But if that is who we are, then that means that we do something. And so let's first think about what we do. And the Beatitude really says it all. Blessed are the peacemakers. Action is implied in the word peacemakers. Peacemakers make peace. They repair breaches. They aim for reconciliation. That is what we are to be about. Now, this doesn't mean that we are to be weak, cowardly people who always avoid conflict. It doesn't mean that we always give in to the demand of others, nor does it mean that we make peace at the cost of truth. There is a time to fight for what is right. Jesus contended firmly with the Pharisees. James tells us to contend for the faith. But Paul puts it this way in Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In other words, when it's possible, when it's appropriate, make peace. And I want us to think about three areas in which we are to make peace. First, we are to make peace in our own hearts through Christ and His Spirit. This is where it must begin. This is what we thought about this morning, that we can't just think in externals. Sin still dwells in us, and that means that there is a daily war with sin in our hearts. We struggle with impurity, and an impure heart will be a divided heart without peace. And so we must be about the daily activity of making peace in our own hearts. In Colossians 3:15, we are commanded, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is where peacemaking begins. It begins in our own hearts with cultivating peace at the heart level. And Paul went on to say in Colossians 3 that we do this by letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. In other words, it is the Word of God. It is the means of grace, which also become to us means of peace. The Word of God has a purifying effect on us, which leads to peace in our hearts. And so this is a daily activity we must engage in, seeking Christ, seeking His Word, seeking the enabling of His Spirit, and aiming for that peace in our own hearts. And having done that, then secondly, we are to aim for peace in our sphere of influence. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you all." In our day-to-day interactions, we should be actively making peace, seeking peace, repairing breaches in relationships, whether it be in our home, in the church, in our workplace, in our school, wherever it is. If there is an issue coming between you and someone else, whether it be your husband or your wife or your children or someone in the church, we don't ignore it. We deal with it and seek to repair that relationship. But thirdly, and it's interesting how so many of the Beatitudes have this in view. In other words, as we think about how do we really ultimately show mercy? By proclaiming the gospel. And I think the same it goes for peace. How do we ultimately make peace? By proclaiming the gospel. In Ephesians 6:15, Paul calls the gospel of peace. In Ezekiel 34, God calls His covenant the covenant of peace. This is the ultimate way that we make peace in this world. The unbeliever is at war with God. They are God's enemy. Satan came into Eden and he destroyed peace. Adam and Eve sinned and wrecked peace. But the gospel is a gospel of peace. Our Savior, the second Adam, is the Prince of Peace, and what people need to know peace is to know Him. And so by proclaiming Christ and Him crucified, we are peacemakers. By bringing the gospel to unbelievers who are God's enemies, when they come to believe, they experience that peace, and we are peacemakers. Now we have thought about how this beatitude describes who we are, what we do, but secondly and encouragingly, it describes who you are becoming like. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now that's not some chauvinistic term to exclude females. It's deliberate. It's not children, but it's sons. Children refers to our status. Sons refers to our nature, our standing in the household. Jesus is saying here that we share in His likeness, that we share in the likeness of the triune God. God the Father is called the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of peace, and the Holy Spirit has a ministry of peace. And Jesus is saying here, when you make peace, you are like me. He is the preeminent peacemaker, and when we engage in this activity, we are becoming like our Savior. Thomas Watson, this led him to write this. He said, "A peaceable disposition is a godlike disposition." And what a great honor and privilege that is for us. To be members of the household of God, to be called sons of God, to be about our Father's business of peacemaking. to have a share in this great kingdom-building work. And so when we make peace, we are God-like. We are Christ-like. But I think it would be good for us to revisit again how God made peace. Colossians 1:9, Jesus made peace by the blood of His cross. He made peace by the blood of His cross. Thomas Watson again wrote, "Peace can be purchased by no other means than war." Peacemaking is a costly activity. Christ went to war for us and gave His life, and His death was the cost of peace. Suffering, rejection, humiliation was the cost of peace for Jesus. I think we need to be careful not to make these words sentimental. I think we tend to do that. But when Jesus stood on this mountainside 2,000 years ago and said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," He knew the cost of peace. He knew that the cross would be the price of peace. He knew that it meant that He must be forsaken by His Father, that He had to become sin for us, for there to be true peace. Peacemaking cost Jesus. It will cost you. Peace is not comfort, as we thought about this morning. It's not the absence of conflict. And these Beatitudes are not in random order. The very next Beatitude tells us this very thing. That trying to make peace in this world may lead to persecution and rejection. It may lead to people hating you for your peacemaking efforts. You will be called sons of God, and that means you may get the privilege. The privilege. Look at the wording in that last Beatitude. Rejoice and be glad. As a peacemaker, you may have the privilege of suffering for your peacemaking effort, just as the Son of God suffered in His peacemaking work. And as I pointed out this morning, as we contemplate the cost of peace for Jesus Christ, we see that Jesus has the right to tell us to be uncomfortable, to tell us to risk rejection for the sake of peace. But finally, let's think about the cultivation of this peacemaking. We're almost at the end of our study of these Beatitudes, and this is the seventh one. And that means it's not a stand-alone statement. It comes to us in a context. These Beatitudes are a composite picture of every true believer. Every true believer is not just to exhibit one of these, but all of them. And that means that as peacemakers, you are people who are first of all poor in spirit. You've come to an end of yourself. You're a person who has realized that you have nothing to offer God. You see yourself as a beggar before God. You realize your sinfulness and you mourn because of it. And that then makes you meek. It makes you submissive to God and gentle with other people. And having a sense of all that you lack before God, you hunger and thirst for Christ and His righteousness. And having been filled and tasted His mercy, then we are then merciful people. Forgiving, wanting to help those in need. You're people who are pure in heart. You're people who have been cleansed by Christ. He has cleansed your divided heart. And what kind of person is that? That kind of person, says Jesus, is a peacemaker. We have emphasized with all of these are blessings God gives to us at salvation, and yet they must be cultivated in the power of the Spirit. And that means a failure to cultivate one of them is a failure to cultivate all of them. For example, if we are not poor in spirit, if we're proud in spirit, or if we're not meek, if we're aggressive, then we're not going to be peacemaking people. And so you become a peacemaker at salvation because you're united to Jesus, and yet sin still remains in us. And so there remains this daily need to cultivate this peacemaking disposition. So as we close this evening, I want to give you four things to keep in mind as you strive in the Spirit to cultivate this peace. First, beware a contentious and divisive spirit. Beware a contentious and divisive spirit. Satan and sin are destroyers of peace. And we know all too well that Satan will take a small spark of anger, a small spark of resentment, and he will fan it into a flame. And we need to guard our hearts in this regard, and especially in the time we're living in. Our current situation is ripe for contention and division. And Satan would like nothing more than to fan that flame and to divide the church. One of the Puritans wrote, "It is Satan who kindles the fire of contention in men's hearts and then stands at the fire and warms himself." Friends, none of us are immune from this. We need to know our hearts. We need to recognize how a small spark of contention can be fanned into a dangerous flame. And friends, too many churches, and many of us know, we've seen it happen, too many churches are destroyed at this very point. Again, Thomas Watson wrote, "If Christians must be peaceable, what shall we say to those who are given to strife and contention? To those who, like gunpowder, if they be touched, explode in a moment? How far this is from the spirit of the gospel. That religion is suspicious, that is full of faction and discord." Friends, beware a contentious and divisive spirit. Secondly, remember that Christ prayed for peace. Christ prayed that we might be one. Christ gave Himself that we might be one. And that means that we must pray for the same thing. We sang it in Psalm 122 this morning, where the psalmist exhorts us, intercede and pray for peace. Pray for peace in your own heart, in your home, in the church, in the workplace, in this nation. Pray that sinners would be converted. Pray for your leaders. Order your life after the heartfelt desire of your Savior. Thirdly, remember that Christ died for peace. We've thought about how costly that peace was for Christ. And when we disrupt peace and create conflict and divisions, we are disrupting the very thing for which our Savior died. When we create division and needless conflict, in the words of Hebrews 10:29, we trample underfoot the Son of God. We profane the blood of the covenant. We outrage the Spirit of grace. Friends, Christ died for peace, and that means it is something precious and to be guarded. But finally, you need to live in light of who you are. You are peacemakers. You are sons of God. This is a sovereign blessing of Jesus Christ. He is telling you, I have remade you into my likeness. If you are a Christian, then you have been united to the God of peace. And let that encourage you then to go proclaim the gospel of peace, to pattern your lives after the Prince of Peace. And as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. If you struggle with a contentious spirit, if you struggle with having those little sparks fanned into flames, then take hold of this promise of Jesus. This is who you are. This is who He wants you to be, who He is making you into. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are the God of peace, that your Son is the Prince of Peace, and that your Holy Spirit brings to us a ministry of peace. And we thank you for the peace that we have through the blood of the cross of your Son. We pray that you would cause us to contemplate that great cost that was paid, that we might be reconciled to you and have that abiding peace. And Lord, having tasted that wonderful peace, having been reconciled to you, Lord, may we go into the world and in the power of your Spirit be being peacemakers. And Lord, may we be encouraged at this great privilege that we have the honor of bearing your Son's likeness, that we have the honor of engaging in this most important activity of your household, of making peace. Lord, give us the courage, give us the willingness to present the gospel of peace, being willing to risk rejection and persecution and suffering. And Lord, may we rejoice and be glad that we have the privilege of being like your Son who brought us peace by his cross. Lord, as we go out and begin a new week, make us peacemakers. Make us like your Son. We pray for your glory. And in the name of Jesus, amen.